Donald Trump's nomination of ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State comes as Exxon is in a battle with environmental groups, the Rockefeller Family Charities, and more than a dozen state attorneys general who are exploring charging Exxon with consumer fraud for an alleged campaign of climate change denial. Let's back up. In 2015, two major journalism projects, one from the Columbia Grad School of Journalism, published in the Los Angeles Times, one from Inside Climate News, came to the separate conclusions that while Exxon scientists were once leaders in global warming research, that changed publicly in 1988. Exxon says that's not true, that the company does recognize the effects of climate change, and the studies cherry-picked information as part of a conspiracy because both groups were funded by the Rockefeller Family Fund. David Kaiser is a trustee of the Rockefeller Family Fund. He's also the great-great-grandson of John D. Rockefeller, the founder of Standard Oil, which begat Exxon, which is why it was startling to many this year when he and the Family Fund announced they would divest holdings in fossil fuel companies. In a recent article, he laid out the reasons why. He joins us now. And David, it was because of what those journalists found last year. So give us the overarching view.
What they found was that starting in the late 1970s, Exxon, with its vast scientific resources, understood and internally accepted the reality of climate change. Different teams of journalists found a huge trove of documents, many of them from Exxon's own archives. They understood the huge threat that it posed to their business, right? Because it's not just that the climate is changing, it's that the combustion of fossil fuel, which is their product, is causing the change and that it's going to lead to catastrophe.
You write about a memo from 1977, an Exxon scientist named James Black, who gave a presentation to the company's management committee and explained what the greenhouse effect was and how it was steadily increasing. Here's a quote, "Present thinking holds that man has a time window of 5 to 10 years before the need for hard decisions regarding changes in energy strategies might become critical."
There were many examples of this. That's part of the point here, and it really goes to Exxon's cherry-picking accusation. If these journalists have been cherry-picking documents, they found an extraordinarily bountiful harvest of cherries, because we have memos from many Exxon scientists and senior executives, and they're all saying the same thing, that the science is becoming clear. We understand that burning fossil fuels is going to dramatically change the climate, and that that is going to have catastrophic consequences for much of humanity, likely by the middle of the 21st century.
Well, here's another one from Roger Cohen, director of Exxon's Theoretical and Mathematical Sciences Laboratory in 1982. He wrote, "There is unanimous agreement in the scientific community that a temperature increase of this magnitude," the one that he had described, "would bring about significant changes in the Earth's climate, including rainfall distribution and alterations in the biosphere." I mean, the examples go on. So what happened in 1988?
Well, 1988, there was the costliest drought in American history. There was a heat wave that claimed more than 5,000 lives, and the NASA scientist James Hansen testified to Congress that climate change is real, it is coming soon, and it will affect all peoples. And all of a sudden, this issue, which really hadn't penetrated the public consciousness, was everywhere. Time magazine, instead of naming a person of the year that year, named Endangered Earth its planet of the year. And Exxon got scared because they realized that if humanity started to take climate change seriously, that would mean making changes in the nature of our energy economy, which could be really injurious to its business. So Exxon decided on a campaign to deceive the public about the validity of climate science.
Well, and here is seems like a pretty damning memo. In August 1988, an Exxon public affairs manager drafted the memo, "The Greenhouse Effect," and saying that the principal greenhouse gases are byproducts of fossil fuel combustion. But then he went on to write, "The Exxon position would now be to emphasize the uncertainty in scientific conclusions regarding the potential enhanced greenhouse effect."
It is laid out there. But something that's not quite as apparent is that in deciding on this campaign to deceive the public about the validity of climate science, it seems quite clear that Exxon consciously modeled what it was doing after the long campaign that the tobacco industry engaged in to deceive the public about the danger of smoking. They found unscrupulous scientists who would misrepresent the scientific consensus, and then they also found and funded right-wing think tanks that would serve as echo chambers for the claims of these scientists. But in addition to that, they actually used many of the very same scientists and think tanks that the tobacco industry had used in its denial campaign.
Well, you say also that Exxon didn't just rely on those scientists, but also published what you call advertorials on the editorial page of the New York Times questioning the reality of climate change and its human cause. Look, you know that Exxon says that you pretty much do the same thing, that you fund nonprofits that then come to the conclusions that you espouse.
The journalists who we gave a grant to are independent journalists with a real creed of ethics of their own. And when we were first in discussions with them about this, we didn't single out Exxon, by the way. We said it would be interesting to know what the fossil fuel industry generally knew about climate change and when. And the reason Exxon became such a point of emphasis is that they found so much damning information about Exxon. That's not to say that there isn't damning information about the other companies, because I believe that there is. But they found much more about Exxon in terms of what it had known about climate change, and people had already known much more about what Exxon had done to deceive the public.
You and others take it further. You say that ExxonMobil even called the George W. Bush White House and asked that scientists who embraced climate change be fired, and you say they were.
They were, and in many cases, Exxon named its preferred replacement.
Well, look, after publication of these articles, the Rockefeller Fund was subpoenaed for documents related to activism by Representative Lamar Smith, a Texas Republican, a friend of Exxon. He's accusing your foundations and the attorneys general, who are also trying to get these documents they say reveal that Exxon knew about climate change and its effects, even as it publicly questioned the science. Smith says you are taking part in a coordinated effort to deprive companies, nonprofit organizations, and scientists of their First Amendment rights and ability to fund and conduct scientific research free from intimidation and threats of prosecution. That's the case that Exxon is making, that this was their free speech to say whatever they wanted about climate change.
Well, big corporations aren't the only ones that have free speech, right? And one of the things that we're all free to say is when somebody else is making inaccurate claims or dishonest claims.
Well, the judge has allowed that claim that they are arguing on the basis of freedom of speech. And so we'll watch as that goes forward. But meantime, we have Rex Tillerson, ExxonMobil CEO, tapped to be President-elect Donald Trump's Secretary of State. In your opinion, did Rex Tillerson knowingly deny climate change when he and the scientists in his company knew the dangers of it? And do you think he should be Secretary of State?
I do not think that Tillerson should be Secretary of State. It's a little bit complicated here, and the reason is that there's a huge gulf between what Exxon said about climate under Tillerson and what it actually did. So was Tillerson really a climate denier? I'm not sure that I would go quite that far. Because when he became CEO, what ExxonMobil said about climate change did shift, okay? The company admitted for the first time that climate change is real after he became CEO. A couple of years after that, it declared that the danger of climate change is serious enough that it supported a carbon tax in this country. It claims it no longer supports climate denial organizations.
So if there was a shift, a public shift under Tillerson, isn't that to his credit?
No, because they shifted in what they said, but not in what they did, okay? And a lot of the press has missed this so far. The New York Times, for example, on Tuesday ran an editorial that was otherwise very critical of the Tillerson pick, but it actually praised his record on climate change. And honestly, I think that's a really embarrassing failure of journalism because ExxonMobil says it supports a carbon tax, but it continues to give much more money in campaign contributions to members of Congress who deny the reality of climate change and oppose any such tax than to those who would support one. And the company has put absolutely no muscle behind any effort to pass such a tax. So if Tillerson wants us to believe that he supports a carbon tax, I want to see some actual evidence of that. Similarly, the company claims that it has stopped funding climate denial organizations, but that is demonstrably false. It still does give significant support to many important climate denial organizations. For example, the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, which is a creation of the Koch brothers. ExxonMobil has given ALEC major funding and even has a seat on its board of directors. Many other companies like BP, Walmart, Shell, and Google have stopped funding ALEC because of its climate denial lies, but Exxon has not.
David Kaiser, just a couple minutes here. Is there some guilt on the part of the Rockefellers that's motivating you? Again, your great-great-grandfather founded Standard Oil.
Honestly, it is not a question of guilt. I don't think that I'm responsible for what my great-great-grandfather did, and I certainly don't think I'm responsible for what the company he founded became generations later. We wouldn't be bad-mouthing ExxonMobil if there weren't excellent reason to do so, because it is not in our financial interest to do this. You know, the family still owns quite a lot of ExxonMobil stock in trust, meaning that we're not able to sell it even if we wanted to. And if what we say hurts the company, as they seem to think it will, we will actually suffer financially.
David Kaiser, thanks so much.
Thank you.
David Kaiser of the Rockefeller Family Fund. We've asked Exxon for the response. Meanwhile, they post many responses at their website. They write in part, ExxonMobil completely rejects the allegations made in the journalist's studies. They also list the actions ExxonMobil is doing to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. We'll link you. You can read more at hereandnow.org.